we just want to welcome you. The title of today's message is The Gift of Adversity. The Gift of Adversity. There are certain Christmas presents that you just really want to give back. You know, when somebody gives you a gift on Christmas and they say, "Hey, I have the receipt if you want to return it." And you're thinking, "Yes, I want to return it." And you don't really know how to work that out. And so you're going to wait a couple days and come up with an excuse like, "Hey, it doesn't fit. I want to get a different color." I remember my wife, she's the love of my life, but she brought a Christmas present to the family. It was matching pajamas. If I remember correctly, they were like onesies. And I don't look, only babies are supposed to be in onesies. I think it was like a giraffe, okay? I looked like I was on Madagascar. I was like, "Please, this is a gift I don't want." When God gives you a gift of adversity, these are the gifts that you say, "I don't want that one." When God sends you adversity, it's actually a gift. And so we're going to unpack it today, and we're going to use Moses as a case study. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 9, we read about, I'll quote it in a minute, but just to set the scene, the children of Israel were in slavery by the Egyptians. There was about 1 million of them. And the Lord used Moses to deliver them and to walk them through, this was the intention, to walk them through this wilderness. It was going to take about 10 days or so to get to the land that he promised. Now, in those days, if you were on land that had green grass and streams and water, all of your livestock would get stronger and stronger, and you can become very wealthy. And the Lord says this, "I'm going to take you out of slavery, and I'm going to bring you to a promised land." But they were so sinful that they ended up staying in the wilderness because the Lord's like, "If we're not going to be in covenant, then you're going to stay here." A lot of times people want blessings from God, but if you're not in covenant, if you're not all in, then the Lord says, no. The blessings that you're believing for, they don't come just because you want them to come. We've got to be in covenant with each other. And so the Lord gets really angry. And this is what the Bible says, that the Lord looked down and he saw the people. And he said to Moses, "These people are stiff-necked. They're rebellious. They're proud. They're like, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. I'm going to have a secret life. I don't really care about the things of God. Now, if you ask me, I'm going to say yes, but I'm indifferent. I don't really care." He goes, and when you're like that, you're stiff-necked. The Lord looks down and goes, "These are stiff-necked people." So he looks at Moses and he says, "Leave me, go away," because they were talking to each other on the mountain, which could you imagine talking to God face to face, like, oh my God. So the Lord says, "Leave me, Moses, so I can let my anger burn within me." Have you ever looked at somebody and said, "Look, I'm about to go nuts. You need to go ahead and go somewhere else. I'm about to throw something. Like, you need to..." He said, "My anger is going to burn within me. I want you to go away so that I can destroy these people." And Moses says back, it's like he steps up. He becomes somebody that he wasn't the moment before. And he says this to the God. He says this, "Are you going to allow the Egyptians," you know, the people that had them in slavery, he goes, "Are you going to allow the Egyptians to say that you delivered them with evil intent so that you could kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth. Are you going to let the Egyptians say that? And he says to the Lord, he goes, Lord, I am pleading with you to turn from your fierce anger. Stop being so angry and relent from your plans. Relent from the disaster that you are sending your people. And the Lord looks back at Moses and he says this, I will relent and I will not do what I have threatened to do. See, Moses, in this moment of adversity, experienced three gifts. Number one is he became a source of strength to everybody else. It wasn't just about him. Number two is that he had this discovery. It was a gift. It was a discovery moment, a moment of discovery that he would never have discovered if it weren't for that moment of adversity. It was a gift. And then number three, he had a revelation about God. So let me talk about this source of strength. He's coming before God, and I missed one little sentence in the middle of that scripture that I was quoting. He says, I'm going to destroy the people, but I'm going to make you a great nation. All of your children are going to be blessed. And he's like, no, I know you got me, but I need to talk about them. And he's a source of strength, representing them, praying for them, interceding for them. Have you ever prayed for somebody before? Your source of strength that only comes in adversity. My challenge to you is to recognize that when adversity comes, most people turn into a person that is not encouraging. They turn into a pessimistic person. Their attitude shifts and changes. But I believe that the Lord gives us adversity so that he can raise up a people who are a source of strength in the middle of adversity. He said, I'm going to give you this adversity so I can set you apart from everyone else. Everyone else gets discouraged. Everyone else starts going crazy. But I'm raising you up to be a leader. Let me give you an example. About two years ago in March, I was sitting in a living room with our pastors. And, in a moment of transparency, I just felt like I was doing horrible at everything. I was doing horrible as a husband. I was doing horrible as a father. I was doing horrible as a pastor. I just felt like you guys needed another pastor, a better pastor. I would just tell God, look, I just want to go to heaven, man. Just take me, get me out of here. And our pastors looked at me and he said, Frankie, you're a phenomenal husband. You're a phenomenal father. You're a phenomenal pastor. And I started arguing with him. And he goes, no. You're a phenomenal husband. You're a phenomenal father. You're a phenomenal pastor. It's not time for you to go to heaven. You got great things to do. What was happening? He was doing exactly what Moses did. He was a source of strength to me. He pulled me up. You see, it's easy to look at a person and talk to them where they are. I've got a friend of mine. He was so addicted to drugs that he would pawn his stuff to buy more drugs. He'd pawn his watches. He'd pawn anything of value. And he's completely free, he's completely dry, and he's been that way for several years. But I asked his wife, I said, how in the world did you put up with all of that? Why didn't you leave? And she said, I kept reminding myself that his behavior is not who he is. There's a better man in there. There's a greater man in there. And I'm going to pray it out of him. And when they would argue, she would say, I almost said his name. I said, hey, you're a great man, and there are good times ahead. This is a person of strength. This is a person who raises them up. You know, the reason why we like to be in the presence of God is because we worship him. We feel taller. We feel stronger. We feel like we walk in here sometimes feeling 2 feet tall. We walk out feeling 12 feet tall. God is the source of strength for us. And then we turn around and what we find out is that we end up being a source of strength to other people and tell them who they are. See, if you tell a person who they are by where they're at, they will stay where they're at. But if you tell a person who they're going to be in the future, they will become that person in the future. Come on. Have you ever thought to yourself, I just need somebody to believe in me? Are you with me? I just need somebody to believe in me. That's what Moses was doing. He's facing adversity and he's saying, look, this is my opportunity to separate myself from everyone else. The second gift is this moment of discovery. Moses was not that guy earlier in his life. In fact, he spent 40 years out in the wilderness, just watching sheep and goats. That's all he was doing. And then he gets called into this moment where the Lord says, I want you to lead these people. I want you to lead them out. And then he starts defending them and leading them. Moses didn't know that that was on the inside of him. Can I tell you this? God will send you problems. He will send you adversity so that you can dig down deep and discover what God has put in you. See, there are certain problems and there are certain seasons where you begin to back up and you start believing in things that you didn't believe that you could do. There's gifts inside of you that's sitting there that you don't know you have, but when you have to find it, it will be there. And that's a gift. You wouldn't have found it if the adversity was not there. I remember when Allie and I, right before we started the church, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I was like, I told you we were going to do this, but I changed my mind. We're not going to do this. And my father, now he's Italian, so this is how Italians speak to each other. He said, Frankie, you get your fat head out there. You get your fat head out there and you start that church. And I said, Dad, I've got two people in the church. And they have to be there. My wife in Presley, she was 6 months old. I was like, there's nobody else. This is it. And we have no money. My grandmother, my dad's not Italian, he's Sicilian. So his mother's Sicilian. She, Frankie, you got no money. You got no money. I had a friend of mine start a church and he was like, man, I had to stretch my faith because we only had $250,000. We had no money. And my father looked at me and goes, you get your fat head out there and you do what you're born to do. And listen to this, I won't let you fail. Now here's the trouble. I knew how much money he had. He had very little money. And I'm like, how are you gonna help me? Get your fat. All I heard was, I believe in you and this is gonna work. That's all I heard. You see, here I come, walking into the woodlands. Allie and I were so nervous, we went and bought new clothes for the first service. Three people from the woodlands showed up. I had no idea that there was something in my wife, that there was something in me that could actually build a church. I walk down this hallway on the way to the first service and in the second service, and I tell Pastor Dwayne, oh my goodness, there's people here. I say that to this day. I said it this morning. I was like, there's people here. I can't believe there's people here. But do I not say it every single Sunday? I can't believe you guys are here. If I weren't me, I would be going, I can't believe it. Sometimes God will put you in a season to reach down and pull something out that you didn't know it was there. And usually it's a moment of conflict, a moment of problems. It pulls you out. And then you look back, and have you ever looked back and thought, I should have died in that season? Yes. That season should have killed me. I can't believe when I was in the middle of that, I thought it was over. And what's so crazy is those seasons that almost broke us, we forget about those seasons because we're fighting a different battle right now. But can we just say, time out. You came through a season that you had to reach deep to believe that God was gonna pull you through. You had to reach for a faith, a gift, an anointing that you didn't know you had. And that's why adversity is a gift. You end up becoming a source of strength for people. There's something in you, like, I'm not gonna talk like everybody else. I'm going to be the person to speak life. It's a gift because you begin to discover things that you would not discover if it weren't for the pain. Number three is that there's a moment of revelation that takes place. See, Moses sees a million people living like the devil, but they're experiencing the blessings of God. Have you ever looked at somebody and say, you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in God, you don't go to church, you got a filthy mouth, and you're driving a Rolls Royce, like, what in the world? Your life is perfect. You look great. You got the house I want to have. If you had my money, you would give it away. You got so much money. And you sit there and you think to yourself, how are you so blessed? Right. Only one person? Come on. How in the world are you so blessed? You shouldn't be blessed. I should be blessed. I got one person. You're the only one that needed to come to church today. Where are y'all at? The people were sinful, but they were experiencing miracles. They were out in the desert for 40 years and their shoes never wore out. They were in the desert for 40 years and their clothes never wore out. They were in the desert for 40 years and bread is falling from heaven every single day. You know, you may be saying to yourself, like, you can't just eat bread. So glad you said that. God had quail, birds, coming out of the air, crashing into the ground every day so they could pick it up. They could take their hat off and slap a quail down on the ground, pick it up, pluck the thing, cut open the sandwich, just like Subway. Would you like white bread or wheat? Miracles. But they didn't have the favor of God. God was angry with them. Did you know you can experience miracles in your life and not have the favor of God in your life? Did you know somebody can have the blessings of God and have God angry with them? And see, Moses went before God and he was like, are you gonna come with us? Like, we gotta move forward towards the promised land. Are you gonna come with us? And God says this, no, I'm not. My presence is not going to come with you. You see, some people experience blessings, but they don't have his presence. But the blessings are enough for some people. Sometimes a gift ends up being the demise of a person's life, and you just think, you're too rich. Your life is too wonderful. And so Moses looks at the Lord and he says this, no. We're not going to go forward if you're not going to come with us. He says this in Exodus 33, verse 16. He says this, he goes, it's your spirit among us that makes us different. Your spirit has to be with us. In other words, maybe you've thought this. I know what it's like to live on this earth in a season when I don't feel your presence, and I'm not gonna do it again. I'm not gonna do it again, because watch this. When you're not walking in his presence, the presence of Satan is walking with you. And you know the presence of Satan is walking with you when anger has a grip on your heart, when you're right and everyone else is wrong, when you're bitter, when you're full of lust, when you don't believe in God, you're indifferent from God. You're just indifferent. You believe in him, but you're indifferent. I want to love you enough to tell the truth. And the truth is, if you're not pursuing the presence of God, if you're not walking with the presence of God, then I want you to know that Satan is walking with you. He is influencing you. And I want you to wake yourself up and say, I don't want your blessings if I'm walking outside of your presence. I don't want a new job if you're not going to be in the new job. I don't want to get married if you're not going to be in the marriage. I don't want it. He made that discovery. I don't know if you've ever been there where you say, God, I need my life to be different because it's hard right now. But I would rather live in a valley but have your presence than live on the mountaintop without it. I don't want that. And as I look throughout this room, I see people that are hungry for the presence of God. I see people that are coming in and saying, God, I'm desperate for you. This is a tough world. This is a dark world. This is a vicious world. These demons are flying around like bats. And I just want you to know, God, I need you. I need you. I'm passionate for you. I don't want to take a step forward without your presence. These are the people I'm looking at. These are those that say, look, I will get up on my weekend. I know when that alarm goes off or whenever you get up and you're like, it's time to go to church. And you're like, yeah, but my house is so warm and it's so cold out there. And my God. And then there's something that wakes up in you and you're like, I need the presence of God. This is why you're here today. And how did that happen? How did you ever arrive at this point where you have become so desperate? How did you get here? There was a moment, a season of adversity where you realized that you could live without his presence, but you're now at a point where you refuse to live without his presence. See, people can figure out how to live with problems. They can figure out how to live without God. They can figure out how to do it. But you're people, you don't want to figure that out. You can try that. I've already done that. I'm not doing that again. And this is the revelation. This is a gift that you realize only because of adversity. Now what happens? You put it all together now. You walk in adversity, the gift that you don't want. What ends up coming out of that? You become a person of strength. It's you that says, I see good days ahead. It's you that says, hey, look, I've been living this life for a long time. I've met a lot of people, and I'm looking in your eye, and I can tell that you're special. I know that you're going through a tough time, but you're going to get out of this. I know that you're in trouble. But trouble has an expiration date. This season's almost over. Hang on, girlfriend. You become a source of strength when you get the gift of adversity. You discover that there's something in you. You are different. Have you ever wondered, God, I just want to know that you called me for a purpose? It's in adversity where you discover that. It's in adversity where you discover his presence. And I know you don't like adversity. I know I don't like adversity. But it's in the middle of adversity where we look back and we say, that was a miracle. Would you stand up on your feet? Put your hands together for your King. Would you do that? Put your hands together for your King. Would you just put your hands out like this for a moment? And what I want you to do is I want you to think of what you need from God. God, I need this. See, so even though adversity comes, sometimes you just get tired, and sometimes you just get weak, and sometimes you get discouraged. And I want you to just tell the Lord for a minute. Don't think it. I want you to open your mouth and say it. You can whisper it so quietly that the person next to you can't hear you, but you got to open your mouth. If you can't open your mouth and pray for a second, you have to ask yourself, why can't I open my mouth? And that's a very scary thing. Question to answer, to ask yourself. So with your hands out like this, just tell the Lord what you want. I'm going to give you a minute. Just you and the Lord. There's no one else in this room. Go ahead. Can put your hands down and look at me. There's some of you in this room. You are fooling everyone around you. Everyone around you thinks that you and the Lord are in a good place. Everyone around you. You've done a phenomenal job at fooling everyone. But I want you to know you're not fooling yourself. You know where you're at. And even more so, God knows where you're at. and I want you to get your life right. So we're going to do this one more time, and I just want every person here to ask yourself, if your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, am I ready to see the Lord? And if the answer is no, I want you to open your mouth and say, I'm sorry for my sins, God. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down. Sometimes you just need someone to pray for you, you know? I've thought that many, many, many times. God, just make my name cross somebody's mind and let them pray for me. Sometimes you're just there. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to come out of your seat and take the hand of a prayer partner and let them pray with you. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. But let's just worship Him just for a few more minutes. This is why you came. Let's worship Him just for a few more minutes. Just maybe one or two times through the next song. Would you put your hands out like this before you worship Him? May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.